Thank you. So using yield monitors is one of the main things, one of the main informations that we get to do things related to precision ag and to building maps of how our crop is responding on a specific field. And this data is from Brazil, and most of the machines there are of this type from John Deere. And the yield monitoring is done by a group of sensors that is installed in the closer to where the cotton is, just after it's harvested, before it goes to the accumulator. And they are microwave-based sensors, right? So we have one sensor for each row, and the machine is recording it. But when we look into the data, let's see if I can make it. When you look into the yield maps produced, we always see some kind of variability that doesn't seem very natural. So I've been working with it from a few years, and we always had this question if how accurate actually it was. There are other works showing that it can vary when you change the crop variety, for example, because of the lean turnout and the size of the seeds. But this is in the same variety, and we were always seeing this pattern. With the new models, there is also an extra sensor, which is a kind of scale in the end. So after the round model is built, we actually had the true or another estimate of the yield based on that one. The problem is, to get yield, you need the volume or the weight and the area. And the area of that model is not good estimated, because there is some cotton that stays on that accumulator, that blue circle in the middle of the machine. So we actually have a really good estimate of the weight, but not as good estimate of the area. So we are trying to develop a methodology to use both types of data and try to see if actually there is reason to do that. And another motivation for that, we are working with what we call on-farm precision experimentation. So we are using the precision ag machinery to implement the trials open in the fields, using the whole field with different rates. And then our main comparison after is using the yield data. So we want the yield data to be as accurate as possible. And we want to know if there is anything wrong with that data. We want to know how to correct it. So these are this can happen. This can be built in different flavors, the whole field or just parts of the field. There are different ways to do that. But in any way, we want the data to be really good. So that's the main object, is to investigate the existence of temporal trends affecting the cotton yield monitor errors and develop methodologies to improve the yield data quality. So we are assuming that the yield that we actually measure is composed of the true yield plus some kind of random error due to the sensor noise and other things, plus another term that may be considered a bias, that is, it can change over time and we can find something to explain it and take it out of the equation. So the material and methods, we have this we choose one field to show the methodology. And in one single field, we had 430,000 points. So it's collecting 1 point every second. And we also had 1,033 models on that. So we have enough data to compare it. In the map on the right, on the left corner there, each color represents all the polygon that the cotton was for one of the models. So, and to harvest this field with only one machine took about 1 week. So we synchronized the data from the model and the other sensors, the microwave sensors, to compare them. That was the main thing to do. The data is presented in separate file formats. There is not a common ID between them, so we have to synchronize by time. And we also had a moisture sensor on this new model of machine, so we also compared with that to see if the variation in the moisture may be one of the causes of the error, and we actually correct the weight to a standard moisture base. So because the scale is giving the moisture the weight with the moisture, so we are correcting for that also. So the results, we see that using the model and the weight of the model to estimate the yield, so just based on the weight and the area, we don't have any temporal trend. It's good, but it has a lot of this variability is because of the errors in the estimation of the area, because of the amount of crop that stays in the accumulator and is not actually weighted in that same model. But when we compared it with the yield estimated by the cotton mass flow sensor, which is the microwave based version, we could see a really strong temporal drift. So for the area didn't have a lot of variability, and after that we used the error, so that's not a problem. But you can see that when we were harvesting and in the more the temperature was higher in like close to noon, we got higher yields in the yield map, and when we were harvesting at night, for example, we always get lower yields. So we thought that okay, there's something wrong here. So we calculated the errors. The errors are defined as taking the estimated by the mass flow sensor and the estimated by the models, the weight, right? So there is still some error, but it's not it doesn't depend on time. And these errors, they were mostly correlated with the moisture content. So you can see a clear trend. When the moisture is higher, we have negative errors. So when you are harvesting with higher moisture, this is already corrected for that. But because of the structure of the fiber, the way that it looks to the sensor, we hypothesize that what happens is when it's more with more moisture, it's actually more compact, so the sensor is trying to actually measure volume, and there is the density of the cotton changes according to its moisture. So that's probably one of the reasons for that errors. And even if you don't have a moisture sensor, so we also have data from older machines that don't have this sensor, we could find really good correlations between the time of the harvest and the error. So we could actually use just the time as a variable to correct the yield. This is possible under these situations because it's in the dry season in Brazil, so the temperature and the relative air humidity and everything is pretty constant, so every day is the same thing in the environmental conditions. So using the time of the harvest, just the hour, is also a good way to estimate it. And you can see the variation of moisture over the times in that plot is also very similar. There is not a lot of distortion. It's very well related with the time of the harvest. So looking at the maps of the spatial distribution of the errors, you can see that when the moisture at harvest was greater than 8%, we have the largest underestimated in yield. And because there is this, you usually start harvesting when the moisture is low enough, and then you go through a period where it's very low, and then you just stop in the night when it's actually too high, it starts to compromise the harvesting process. So this makes these features in the maps, just in the border where you stopped and when you started again, you have errors as high as 20% of the yield because of this difference in moisture, which can compromise, especially when we are trying to evaluate these on-farm experiments and we are trying to compare things. So 20% is a lot. We need to correct that. And to correct that, so we use the data that we had available. So we can use either the moisture. Those equations are only valid for that field because they were calibrated for that. So if you are under other environmental conditions, the idea is you can apply a similar strategy. So if you have a machine that also gives you the weight of the model, you can try to time sync that data and then use it to correct. but not just apply the equation in other situations, because it will not work. It's dependent on the weather of the condition it was calibrated. And the procedure itself should be validated in under other circumstances, but we believe that similar results may be found. We also think that the process could be further improved if we have the information of the amount of cotton in the accumulator. So there is an intermediate accumulator before it gets actually compressed to build the model. And you can see that information inside the cab. There is an indicator there, but it's not registered in any of the data exported. So if we had that data, we could actually know the area better and then use it to do a better correction. And even more, in those new machines, I think this process could be and should be implemented in real time, because the machine has a way to self-calibrate based on that information. So it should be able to produce more accurate maps if they develop this self-calibration process. And also there is this, we find this very hard sometimes to just sync the data, because in one time is in UTC, the other is local time, there is change of time. So if it just had the model ID, it would be easier to do that and even to build some kind of rasterability. So we can look into more things like quality after. If you have it, you can actually understand how your inputs are affecting the quality and other things. So these are suggestions, especially for the builders of the machine to implement and make it more usable. So to conclude, we did see that the microwave sensors, they are affected, especially probably by the moisture content in the fiber. So there is some errors occasioned by that. And using some sensor fusion, so two different types of sensors and some type of self-calibration, we could improve that data. And also, when we think about designing these experiments, we should take this into consideration. So maybe trying to get different experiments in the same pass of the combine is better to compare them than actually using side-by-side comparisons. It's possible for some things. It's very hard to do for seed, for example, or other things. So just that's important to know it and maybe to take into account when designing those experiments. And that's all. Thank you for your attention. And if you have any question. Questions?
I'd like to know where the cotton was in Illinois that you went to.
So the data is from Brazil, right? From the time that I used to work with there.
What state is in Brazil?
State? Mato Grosso. Yes. So this project that we have in Illinois of using this kind of on-farm trials, it goes through at least 8 states in the U.S. and also 3 more countries. So that's why I'm here, and we have been trying ways to get better yield data to be able to really use it.